Blog Talk Radio.
This is your boy Dwayne Scott. I want to invite all my music lovers to join my addiction and get hooked on books. Visit www.hiphopandbooks.com and see how we can work together to get others to fall in love with reading again. To find out more information about me, visit me online at www.myspace.com/Dwayne Scott. That's www.myspace.com/DuaneScott. And look for the CD coming out soon. It's just music. And we out.
Thank you for that, Dwayne Scott, and for all of our listeners. Thank you for joining us for another edition of Conversations Live, where we connect you live with the artists and authors you love who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. And before we begin, let me first welcome our listeners in Arkansas, Louisiana, Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, Texas, today in North Carolina, also in California, and we also have a visitor from Washington State on the line. Hello, too, to all of you listening to us live online as well as by podcast, and thank you for joining us for another exciting show. Now, it's the end of the month, and you know what that means. It's another edition of our Business of Books workshop. This is where we gather some of the most well-known authors in the industry to talk about their careers, to talk about the politics of the business, and also to give advice for those that are aspiring to be authors, as well as what they want authors and other readers to know about themselves and the work that they put out. We have a great 90-minute program for you today. We're going to be joined by best-selling authors Risha Pie, Peyron Long, Valerie Wilson-Wesley, and Thomas Green Jr. They are all very experienced. All of them have several books out, and it's going to be a very exciting discussion. To get us kicked off, we're going to listen to some musical entertainment from one of our musical performers here. This is from the Dream Team Stars from Houston, Texas. Now, they are a supporter of the Hip Hop and Books Literacy Campaign. I'll tell you a little bit about that later on. But this is the Dream Team Stars and their song, Love Potion. Enjoy. We'll be right back with the Business of Books.
She got me going crazy, I can't take it. It's like she got a spell on me, and I can't shake it. And when I see her, everything slows down like the Matrix. When she gone, I'm like a doctor with no patience. I'm nothing for real. She's my treasure, she's like a pot of gold. And when she looks at me, feel like she's turning to my soul. Is it love or is it lust? I don't know, but when I think of her,
get you there.
show you the direction that'll get you there. I'ma hop up in the shower. Just meet me here about an hour. I got the direction that'll get you there. I'll show you the direction that'll get you there.
Saying that's a bit, we can work it out till we see the sun. Soon as we hit the door, no time for games, no time for play. Crazy thoughts running through my head, what I'ma do with you since yesterday. Looking good from head to feet, my wordplay is so sweet. Getting close in between the sheets while we acting out your fantasies. Juice box dripping nonstop from kissing you while you getting high. Time passing, going tick tock, moaning in my ear, please don't stop.
Dream Team stars with their song Love Potion. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Conversations Live. This is our monthly installment of The Business of Books, where we have a panel of distinguished authors who talk about their careers, the politics of the business, and what you need to know about what it's like to be a published author. Joining us right now, we have best-selling authors Risha P.A. and Peyron Long. How are the two of you doing?
Doing great.
Good. Well, look, welcome, first of all, to Conversations. I know the two of you are two authors that I've personally had to struggle to get because I've seemed to have conflicts every time. So we want to say thank you all for finally being on the show with us.
Thank you for having me.
Look, we're going to make this as painless as possible. You all are going to be a part of a very important discussion that we try to have every month. And the reason we do this is because we want people to realize that being an author is not just about putting out a book. There's more to the process. So I want to start in the beginning with an introduction. Risha, why don't you begin? Tell our listeners a little bit about who Risha P.A. is.
Hello, my name is Risha P.A. I live outside of Memphis, Tennessee in a small town. During the daytime, I work as a medical technologist. I have two wonderful children, my daughter Ebony, she's 19 years old, and my son Frederick, he's 15 years old. So I managed to divide my time between my career, my family, and writing.
Okay. All right. And Peyron Long, go ahead.
I'm Peyron F. Long. I'm from a somewhat small city, right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, in South Carolina, Rock Hill, South Carolina. I also have a full-time job. I work with juvenile sex offenders, and I can't say my day job because of staffing issues, I'm day, night, and evening. So I'm kind of going through a lot right now, writing, promoting, as well as working a full-time job. And I do have a 9-year-old son that I also have to spend time with.
Okay.
And that's about it about me.
Okay. Well, one thing that the two of you, since this is your first time on the program, I will let you know, Conversations, one of the things that separates us is that we don't script questions. So even though we might have topics, there aren't questions. That's why I couldn't send any of our guests anything in advance, because I honestly don't know what I'm going to ask you. I basically feed off of I'll feed off of you, the guest. But something that Risha said is something that I want to start this discussion off with, and then I'll start with Perron, and then I'll go to Risha. She talked about managing the time, because it's not like right now both of you are sitting at home full-time writing. Does that become a challenge when you have a book that's released and it starts to get a buzz, and then you have to balance your marketing time and promoting time around your career? Perron, what about for you? Does that become a challenge for you?
Yeah, right now it's a big challenge because I'm still promoting the book that was released in January, while I'm also doing just actually about 3 hours ago, I just received the edits for my next book, and I'm balancing all of that, you know, that time with my son, with work, with promoting the current book, and also getting ready for the next book. It becomes a big challenge, but at the same time, it keeps me busy, and I really wouldn't change anything about it right now.
Okay. Risha, go ahead.
For me, it's definitely a challenge because, like Perron said, we have to wear many hats at the same time, and we have to keep all of our balls up in the air at the same time without dropping any. Because with me, it seems as though the way my schedule is now, when I have a book to be released, I also have another manuscript that's due at the same time. And I work full-time, plus I'm a full-time mother. And I also work very hard to promote my own work. So it's very challenging, but I have to admit that it seems like the more I have to do, the more I get done. It forces me to remain organized and to be very conscientious of how I spend my extra time.
Okay, all right.
Which I really don't have much extra time.
Now, Risha, I want to direct this next question to start off with you, and then we'll go to Perron, because both of you are actually under the empire that is Urban Books. Risha, your books come out under Urban Soul, and Perron, if I'm not mistaken, you're just signing with Urban Books, correct?
Yes, my next book will be on Urban. Yeah.
Okay. So for you, Risha, you actually, your first book was under a major publisher.
Yes.
Did you, when you were getting your manuscript together, did you at any time think about self-publishing, or did you automatically start submitting your book to a major publisher?
I did, Cyrus. I thought about self-publishing, and I also I knew I had several goals in mind, and I knew with self-publishing that I would have to wear the same thing. I would have to promote. I would have to write. I knew that there were several responsibilities that went along with self-publishing. One advantage that I will admit that one benefit that we do have being with a major publishing house is that they promote us in a major way.
Right.
So the major marketing is, for me, the biggest advantage that I feel that we have.
Okay. And for you, Perron, you started off with Express Yourself Publishing, which is a good friend of Conversations as well. I've been knowing Jessica for a few years now, Jessica Tillis, and now your next book will be under Urban. Had you considered self-publishing before you actually
Yes, I did, but then at the same time, given the fact that, you know, with the promotions and with the financial obligations that self-publishing comes with, I really wanted to seek out a major publisher, you know, a publisher to put my work out there. But I did think about it. I thought about it long and hard, but it just didn't work out for me.
Well, that brings up an obvious question then for the two of you, Risha. You know, a lot of people will look at the two of you and say, okay, you know, for all those authors who did start off self-publishing, not all of them did it because they wanted to. A lot of them did it because they kept getting those rejection letters and just finally said, instead of giving up, I'm just going to put it out myself. What do you think was the reason why your manuscript resonated with the publisher? Because I think a lot of times, as I mentioned before we started the discussion, a lot of people don't realize the work that goes into putting a manuscript together. So what do you think made your book resonate with the publisher that helped you get your deal?
Cyrus, I have to say I did have my collection of rejection letters. The thing with me, it was just persistence. I knew I had certain goals in mind, and I knew in order to achieve those goals that I needed an agent. So believe me, out of every submission that I did, I only got one yes. But that yes happened to be the greatest opportunity. So the thing that I would have to say, it was just persistence. But for me, what I always tell people whenever I do a signing, they have questions, and they ask me, well, how do you feel about self-publishing? How do you feel about being with a major publishing house? What I have to tell them is that everybody's path is totally different. All of us have different goals in mind. Some people write for the money. Some people write for entertainment. Some people write simply because it's a gift, and that's what they love to do. So that's what I tell people. You have to ask yourself, and you have to be certain about your particular goals, because my path is not necessarily the path for the other artists out there. And I, in the process, I developed a very tough skin because I got more no's than I got yes. But I was persistent, and I kept submitting and submitting and submitting and submitting until I got that one yes that I needed.
Okay. Yeah, that's some good points there. Perron, what about yourself?
Yeah, I'm basically in the same boat as her. My first book actually came out under one of those vanity presses that I'm not going to mention, but after 6 months after releasing that book, I actually got an agent, which was a real blessing for me. And within a few months later, I actually started working on some other things as she got me a deal with her. And I'm like, like Rochelle say, when you go to book signings and people ask you questions, I let them know that I really admire self-publishing authors. But at the same time, I knew that wasn't a route for me, because I'm not in all cases as persistent as I may appear to be. And I know with the self-publishing route, you really have to be persistent. You really have to get out there. You really have to push. And I really admire those guys. But at the same time, I knew that my path was to go into a major publisher.
Okay. All right. Well, let's fast forward a little bit then. Okay. The two of you have your deals. Let's just say, Perron, with you, you started off with Pulpit Confessions, with Express Yourself Publishing, and for you, Risha, you started off with Mysteries of a Woman with Urban Soul. Now, you have the books out. Can you remember the first time you actually saw your book in a bookstore, and how did that make you feel? Perron, you start that.
The first time I saw Pulpit Confessions in a store, I was at Norfolk, Virginia, and it was actually a signing that we had with XYP. And when I walked up and I saw the display, it was a feeling like no other, because that was my first time actually seeing a book at a store. And now when I go to a few of the bookstores, like in the area, or when I'm like out of town and whatnot, it's almost like hard not to let people know this is my book. It's a good feeling. It still is.
Risha, you're getting ready to release your third book. So you've had this feeling, I'm sure, a couple of times now. But what was it like the first time with Mysteries of a Woman?
Actually, the first time I was rendered speechless. I had they gave me a release date, and I was expecting it to be released on that day. And I happened to stop by Walmart. And as always, because I'm an author, I always make my tour through the book section. And as I was walking through, I saw my book on the shelf, and I was speechless. I was speechless, actually, because it made it to Walmart, I believe, about a week early. And even though with the first release, the second release, and the third release, I've had the same reaction, I'm speechless each time. And
now,
it's weird, because when I walked to the cash, I bought it because, Walmart got it before I got it. So I went to the cash register to pay for my own book. And, of course, no one believed it was me, but it was exciting.
For those that are just joining us, you're listening to Conversations Live. This is our Business of Books segment that we do monthly. We're talking now with bestselling authors Risha P.A. and also Perron Long. Both of them have books on, under their belt, and they're sharing advice about their experiences, and also they're going to be telling you things that will help you as an aspiring author, as well as what they'd like for their readers to know. Now, for our guests, we're going to take a quick break. During this break, we're going to hear from one of the sponsors, again, of the Hip Hop and Books Project. This is DJ Down South. This is his commercial for the Hip Hop and Books Literacy Campaign. After the commercial, we're going to be back, and we're going to talk, when we come back from this break, about the politics, because once you get in the store, that's where the fun begins, and that's the actual promoting. So we're going to talk about that right after this break.
Yeah, what's up, it's DJ,
DJ Down South,
and I want to invite all of our music lovers out there to join my addiction and get
hooked on books.
Visit www.hiphopandbooks.com to see how we can work together to get others to fall in love with reading again. Holla at your boy.
Yeah.
Okay, Arisha, I know when we, before we took that quick break, you were just talking about what it was like to go into Walmart and to see your book, and then, of course, have to buy it because you hadn't actually gotten your copy yet. Let's talk about the marketing strategy, because you mentioned this, Risha, that of course being with a major publisher does give you the advantage of having those publicity dollars in place, something that self-published authors normally don't have, that ability to get into the national campaigns and the magazines, and also to get into stores like Walmart. Did you realize, though, that there was so much work still that the author had to do outside of what the publisher did? And how did you manage to wear those different hats of not only being the author, but also being the promoter as well? So, Risha, you start that off for us.
During the process, when I was editing the manuscript, my agent and my editor, they warned me and they told me that that was the easy part. At the time, I didn't quite understand what they were saying, but I understand now. Even though we're with major publishing companies, you have to realize that, yes, they're able to market you, they're able to promote you on a national level, but when your book hits the shelf, your book is among hundreds of others. I mean, other talented authors that are just like you. So you have to ask yourself what will make you different from the others. So I will have to say that, yes, I have to work just as hard in order to get the book off the shelf, get it from the shelf into the hand of the reader.
Okay. Peyron, what about you? How do you manage to delegate your different hats that you wear as author and also still promoting your book even though you're with the publisher?
Well, with me, I had a blessing of being able to have friends already in the industry who let me know what to expect. When I first started off, of course, you know, you have that idea that you're going to be the best writer and the best seller in the world. But I was blessed enough to have enough people to let me know what to expect. So when book it came out, it was like I knew it wasn't going to be an easy thing to get it out, you know, as far as getting it in readers' hands. And even to this day, you know, I'm still working on ways that I can actually get my name out there, get my work out there, get recognized. So, like I say, you know, with me it was a blessing that I had those individuals to let me know what to expect, and therefore it helped me in managing my time and whatnot on how to get my name out there as well as do everything else all at the same time.
Peyron, one of the things that Risha just mentioned is that, and it's very true, and as someone who reviews books, I've realized this, that there are hundreds of books out there, books being released every week, just like within the music industry. So my question would be, do you feel any kind of pressure? I mean, when you look at where your book is categorized, do you feel any type of pressure to try to write in such a way that you're able to snag maybe some readers from an author that might write along the genre as you, or do you find yourself having a competitive nature as to, okay, I'm competing with this writer for this readership? I mean, how does that make you feel when you go into a store and you realize that you're not the only one that's in the African-American section?
Well, I don't really have any pressure on that end of it, but I can say a lot of people have classified Pulpit Confessions as a Christian fiction book, which in a sense it is, but it also has a lot of eroticism and a lot of language. So what happens is, with me, it's somewhat different in the fact that when people come and they see the book, they see the cover, they read what it's about, their first expectation is a Christian fiction book. But then when they open up, like the pamphlets that I give out with an excerpt chapter, and they see a little bit of cuss, and they get like, woo, woo, woo. So I have to explain to them that it's a little different than your normal Christian fiction, even though, you know, I still, you know, in a sense kind of say that it is, but at the same time I'm a little radical. So with that, I try to use that as a way to get people to understand that, you know, there are different types of Christian fiction now. So that's my angle right now.
Okay. What about for you, Risha? How do you find yourself competing for that readership?
I don't necessarily look at it as a competition. Simply because I realize that I have a gift that is unique to me, and my goal is to develop my own writing style. It's not that I'm trying to snag any readers from anybody else. That's not my particular goal. Because one thing that I've realized is that people that read, they read all the time. So I feel like if they don't have it in their budget to buy one of my novels this week, maybe it may be next week or the week after that. So I really don't look at it as a competition. I feel that there are so many talented authors out there, and I feel that there's still room for all of us. And me, I'm classified, I write women's commercial fiction. So I don't look at it from a competitive standpoint. I feel like there's room out there for all of us. And I want, like I said, I want to develop a style that's unique to Teresa.
Yeah, and I agree with her on that. There is room for everyone, and it shouldn't be a competition, you know. And a lot of cases, there are some people who look at it that way, but at the same time, there is room for everyone because everyone has different styles, and every reader has different styles of what they like to read.
Yes, definitely, and that's what I've realized also, because some people, they lean more toward mystery. Some people like Christian fiction. Some people like urban, and your urban readers may not like Christian fiction. So, you know, you have to find your own niche, and I feel that as an author, that's what you stick to. You don't try to write or become like anybody else, because when it all boils down, you'll develop your own readership.
Absolutely.
Now, to take the two of you together, when I look at Pulpit Confessions by Perron, and I look at what Risha has put out, the two books that I've read, which are Mystery of a Woman and also Intimate Betrayal, I haven't read the new book, Illusion of Love. But looking at what you all write, I mean, you all do happen to capture a different voice. You're able to give us mystery. You're able to give us suspense. You give us the love. And as you all mentioned, there are different readers for different types of books, but I want to pose this question to you. Both of you, I'm sure, have found that your books are typically put in the African-American section. And for Perron, I'll let you speak to this first, and then I'll let Risha pick up. I know you said that it has that Christian or inspirational undertone. Do you feel as though it limits you, not only as far as where people might go to find your book, but also do you think it limits you as an author as far as profitability goes? Because we do know at the end of the day, you do want to make money. I mean, you do want to make writing your ultimate career. So do you find your placement in stores is a hindrance for you achieving that goal?
You know, I'm going to say yes and I'm going to say no, because as far as with being in the African-American section, you're actually, because that section is a little bit smaller more in most stores than the other areas. When you go into that area and you see, like, the African-American section, you actually stick out. Now, there's, what is it, Books a Million. They used to have, like, the books actually inside of it. You know, every African-American book was actually in, what am I trying to say? You know, in the
in their own genre.
Thing. Yeah, no. Outside of the genre. Yeah, you know, like everyone was grouped together. And
okay.
me, with my name not really being known yet, I could actually get like lost in that chaos. But because the African American section is smaller, I feel like it's best for me, because when you go into that area, you know, you can look, you have time enough to look at each book and not worry about like a last name or first name or who am I looking for.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. That's a perspective. Risha, what about you?
For me, I've always seen it as an advantage, simply because before, no, we did not have an African-American section, and now it is so exciting, whether it be big or small, to go into a store and see and know that there is an African-American section. Do I look at that as a negative? No, I've always seen that as a positive, simply because it does make us unique. It does make us stand out. In terms of the type of audience that we attract, I feel that all races, they tend to walk by that section. So I don't feel like it's limited to a particular readership, because I have seen, you know, several different people from different ethnic groups that have, you know, perused the African-American section.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think it's a good thing, because when, like with your big stores, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, or whatever, when you're mixed among the others, you tend to be, you will get lost. But with us having our own section, it makes us unique.
Okay. All right. For those that are just joining us, you're listening to Conversations Live. This is the Business of Books segment that we have every month. Today we're joined by best-selling authors Risha P.A. and also Perron Long. They're the authors of several books that we've been talking about, and also talking about their journey as authors. I want you all to stay with us. We're going to take a quick musical break. During this musical break, we're going to listen to one of the supporters of the Hip Hop and Books Literacy Program. This is C-Murder featuring Akon with the song One False Move. When we come back from this break, we'll be talking about success. What is success in your eyes, and also how has your present success affected you so far? You're listening to Conversations Live. We'll be right back.
I'm C. Murder, and I'm back. Respect my mind. Respect my mind. Respect my mind. One false move. They trying to do your boy something dirty, you heard me? It ain't going to work, man. Good boy, CP3. True Records. That's how we rockin', homie.
See, everybody wanna fake and pretend. Me, I'm tired of going in and out of the pen. And I'm done with disobeying the law. One false move and I'll be back in the yard. I had a choice, I wouldn't do it again. I'll unload the clip and compensate my friend now. This thing shouldn't be that hard.
They got me caught up in a situation, heck, they got me crazy like glue. My homie's dying for colors, but me, I'm riding for truth. See, I ain't siding with you, I'm always dodging the blue. I got two records on the ride, I'm on the side of my crew. Forever loyal, no lie, no broken links, come try. I'ma rep the CP3 until the day that I die. Yeah, they threw it at me, but then I threw it right back. Try to hit me with the curve, but I'm a fool with that bat. Now, how you like me now? I'm getting bigger and richer. A third wall villain coming short to take a picture. Still thugging in the streets all day, just a little bit. You see them cut boys, whoa, now that's a real click. Straight goons with some chains, must maintain. I'm the same lame or something to gain. So I pray for him, sign of the cross, cause I'm the boss. Popping moves was false, now he lost. The streets cost, boy.
See, everybody wanna fake and pretend. And me, I'm tired of going in and out of the pen. And I'm done with disobeying the law. One false move and I'll be back in the yard. I had a choice, I wouldn't do it again. I'll unload the clip and compensate my friend now.
Yeah.
Things shouldn't be that hard. I done lost my dog, now I'm falling apart.
I'm having visions of a nightmare. Adversaries playing me close. I'm on the cover of the Source with America's most. So many memories of thugging and pushing it to the limit. Didn't have it, I had to get it. Them forces, I'm coming with it. Them wings was getting splitted. I'm tatted up, you dig me? Taz was trying to kill me. Railroad and deal me. I had to make them feel me. No ducking and hiding. 200 on the dash. On the whip I was driving. I hit the studio. Let the pain flow. Watch the grains grow. Rock the chain low. Cali yoke the same coat. Third and G. Coach boy, rest in peace. I won't let them buses bury me, man. I'm a beast. Drinking one and ones, two and threes, 11.
set my mind free. I'm against the wall, cause my enemies behind me. They wanna see me in the beam or the pine beat. I'm under the radar, homie, you never find C.
Everybody wanna fake and pretend. For me, I'm tired of going in and out of the pen. And I'm done with disobeying the law. One false move and I'll be back in the yard. I had a choice, I wouldn't do it again. I'll unload the clip and conversate with my friend now. Things shouldn't be that hard. I done lost my dog, now I'm falling apart.
The streets keep calling me, man, I'm in a zone. 50s and 4 nickels, you tripping, hang up the phone. Who can I trust? I'm looking at friends with devil eyes. They capitalize, trying to survive. They getting high, I'm getting by. I only hate you if you hate me. Your mama made you your hater, but the streets made me. The game embraced me in the beat, they mates me. From face to face, they build a case to take me. Ain't no way to break me, no participating. I'm bred from pure king. I rap, I don't sing. Now welcome to my world, it's kinda grimy at the bottom. Only the strong survive. Your punches watch me dodge. I'm homie, I'm a rider. Label me suicidal, political refugee of war. National rival, assassinate my tribal. You feel my arrival, it's checkmate. Wrong move, homie, it's about survival.
Everybody wanna fake and pretend. For me, I'm tired of going in and out of the pen. And I'm done with disobeying the law. One false move and I'll be back in the yard. I had a choice, I wouldn't do it again. I'll unload the clip and conversate with my friend now. This thing shouldn't be that hard. I done lost my dog, now I'm falling apart.
There you have C Murder featuring Akon, a special remix especially for the Hip Hop and Books Literacy Project. The song is One False Move. You're listening to Conversations Live and our monthly discussion, The Business of Books. We're joined right now by best-selling authors Risha P.A. and also Perron Long. They're the authors of several books, and they've been discussing their journey to being a published author and also, so far, the challenges that they've had. If you want to join the conversation, the phone lines are now open. You can call in at 347-426-3645. That's 347-426-3645. Our guests will be glad to take your questions and comments. Now, Risha and Perron, before we went to break, I said that we were going to now turn our attention to success because, of course, you know, the two of you have experienced success, Risha with your books that you've released and also with Perron with you and then your new deal with Urban. I want to talk about what that success, first of all, has done for you. Risha, why don't you start that off?
I would not say successful in terms of the financial gain. I'm entirely too busy. I'm not caught up in the glitter and glamour of it all because honestly I stay too busy. For me, being successful, I'm not measuring it financially. I'm measuring it in terms of the readership that I'm able to develop because I'm only as successful as my readership. In this business, I've realized that my success depends on the people that, the readers, the people that are faithful, that follow me, that purchase my books, that have gotten into Risha PA as an author. I believe that it is so important to remain humble and to remain approachable, because like I said, I wouldn't be Risha PA if it weren't for the people that picked up their first novel, turned it over, read the back, opened up the first few pages and read a few sentences, read the first chapter, and made their walk to the cash register. So that's what it means to me. I'm not as concerned with becoming an overnight success, becoming a millionaire, as I am with developing products that will be around 10, that are timeless, that will still be around when my grandchildren come along, that will be timeless pieces of work. That's what it means to me, because 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I would still like to, you know, to be a household name, someone that's still being talked about. So for me, successful is not about the financial aspect. It's about remaining approachable and being able to stay in contact with my readers.
All right, Perron.
And I agree with Risha. And at the same time, you know, success for me right now is just waking up in the morning, you know, because with everything that's going on. You know, some days you just don't want to wake up, but to be able to get up and be able to have a job and be able to write and be able to really express yourself through written word is a success all by itself for me.
Now, I do appreciate your modesty, the two of you, and what you said, and though I'm sure that our listeners don't doubt the fact that, you know, it's all about, you know, what you make of it. I know it does have to feel good to be someone who has a national presence in a field where not a lot of people make it. So, you know, our hats go off to the two of you for defying many of the odds out there, because we know it is a lot of work. And I want to turn the question around a little bit as far as success, because I know that when it comes to having a manuscript, that's one thing. Having the idea of getting published, that's another thing. But when people start seeing what you've accomplished, Peyron, what have you noticed about the way that people respect you and your vision as an author from the time that you started off with the manuscript as now being a published author? What have you noticed?
People think I'm smart. And that's like the only thing I really ever noticed. I mean, people think that I'm a little more brilliant than I really am, if that makes any sense. A lot of people now they come up to me as if I'm like almost like gold, and have to let them know, you know, I'm still who I was like, 10 months ago, 12 months ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. I just happened to take something that I love and actually do something with it, you know.
Risha, what about you? What have you noticed in the way that people have treated your success and what you've accomplished?
That's really funny, because at home I'm still mom. So in their regards, nothing has changed. In terms of dealing with the public, I've gotten different responses for people that my family, people that I grew up with, people that I went to school with. Most of them are surprised. Some people were surprised, because writing is something that I've always done in some form or fashion. But in terms of going places and being shocked to see someone that you've never met before reach a book and being able to walk up and say, "Hi, I'm Risha. Would you like for me to sign your copy?" It's a good experience. I must admit, it's a very good experience. But
when,
like I tend to say, it's very humbling at the same time.
Risha, I want to keep on with that as far as the response from the readers, because I know you guys get lots of emails. If it's not crazy interviewers like me asking you to do interviews, I'm sure you have other fans that write you to tell you the impact that your books have had on them. Can you share with us maybe one of the emails or stories that has really stuck with you as something that was memorable or powerful?
With my first novel, Mystery of a Woman, those that have read it know that I dealt with a very shocking topic. I dealt with a young African-American female that was violated in her home. In terms of the emails that I received, I have not necessarily gotten as many emails as I have had people to walk up to me and, you know, confess that they either knew someone that experienced that, or I even had a couple to tell me that it happened to them. So for me, it was heart-wrenching, simply because, you know, being able to touch the reader like that, and knowing that what we think that we write is fiction is actually someone else's reality. And when I write, I've always been told, you know, those old cliches, what comes from the heart reaches the heart. Even though I write fiction, I'm a women's fiction writer, we do delve and put a lot of ourselves into those characters. And just to hear those confessions, to know that the words that I actually put down on paper manifested and actually touched someone like that and was someone else's reality, it goes beyond words. I really can't even describe the experience or how I felt when readers approach me that way.
What about you, Peyron? What has been one of the comments or things that people have said to you about your writing that has impacted you?
Well, one of the emails I get from most of everyone is that Ruth, it's a character in my book named Ruth, that reminds them of their mother-in-law or a lady at their church or, you know, something like that. And I always laugh because, you know, there is a Ruth. There is someone in everyone's book. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Somewhere that people can actually relate to. And that feels real good to know that you're at least captured your readers to a point to where they actually know this person. A lot of a couple of my characters in my books, you know, that may have, like, touching stories, you know, where they, in my opinion, I call them pitiful characters sometimes. But at the same time, it's someone that is going through the same thing, and that feels good to let someone know that you reach them in some kind of way. Not to say that they're pitiful, but I'm just saying, you know, some of the things that they go through is actually being seen to them, you know, outside of their real life, and they're actually seeing it in a way that's written well, I guess, and it makes them feel good. So I, you know.
Good, there has been a lot of buzz around a certain topic online over the past few weeks, and both of you may have seen it, especially on MySpace. I've noticed it in several bulletins, and that's about the issue of reviews. This is actually something that was not on my list to discuss this month. However, in reading some of the comments that have been written about the subject of reviews and who's credible to write reviews, should reviewers get paid for them, should they not get paid for them, you know, that sort of thing. I want to get into this topic, and we're going to spend a little time with this before we go into our final segment. I just want to say, first of all, because of full disclosure, Conversations does have a magazine, as well as we do write for other sites other than our own, as well as we have print magazines that we are a part of, as well as a daily newspaper. We do not get paid for any of our reviews that we write for Conversations magazine, for the website, or for any of our partners, such as Raw Sisters, for the Black Men Reading section. We don't get paid for any of that. For the Books to Mention section, we don't get paid for any of that. However, the daily newspaper, I am employed as an interviewer for the paper, so the paper pays me. The author does not pay me to write reviews. With that being said, I want to get both of your reactions about the topic of paying for reviews, because we know that a lot of times, as in the music industry and in movies, a lot of people put a lot of stock into reviews, and some, you know, in the music industry, because I do work on that side as well, they have the thing that they call payola, where, you know, you pay a DJ, you pay someone who's influential in the business, and you do get more attention, whether it's more plays or, you know, you get spotlighted more. When it comes to reviews, how do you all feel, and I want to start with this on Peyron, how do you feel about the issue of reviews and if authors should pay for reviews?
Well, I personally don't feel like authors should pay for them. I don't pay for them. I've gotten a couple in the past, you know, emails and whatnot. Give us a such amount of money and we will give you a blurb. And to me, that takes away from when you have to pay for a review. It kind of takes away from what you're hoping for. You know, I don't want a good review because I gave you money. I want a good review because it deserves a good review.
Okay.
That's
all
my
right.
Take on that, yeah.
Well, and I appreciate that. Risha, what about you?
In that respect, I have to agree. I don't feel that an author should pay an individual to write a review, simply because initially, yes, the review will be very biased. One thing in dealing with reviews, I have realized that you have to develop a tough skin, simply because realistically, no. Everyone is not going to like your work. Everyone is not going to love all of your characters. So as an author, I would prefer that all of my reviews be unbiased. I want to get unbiased feedback from all of my readers to know how they really feel. Of course, if I pay someone to do a review for me, it's going to be excellent. You would hope that it would be, you know,
right,
if
exactly,
you pay them
right,
to do
yo,
it.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I guess this is where I was speaking with an Essence bestselling author about this actually over the weekend, because when I first saw, Peyron, I know that you, I think you saw the same bulletin that I saw. where the gentleman was saying that he felt like he should get paid for doing these reviews because it took up all this time. And my thing to that, I read that thinking, well, who's asking you to write it?
I know,
you
know, right?
I mean, who's asking you to write this review? Now, and that's why I wanted to go ahead and disclose that conversations we have made it a point, and I, you know, being the president of the book club, have decided I don't write reviews unless I actually like the book. I don't do reviews or interviews with authors unless I've liked what they've written, and that way I cut out there being any ideas of impropriety because, you know, to think someone did something as a favor. If I didn't care for the book, you'll never know unless you ask me why I never interviewed you. that's just my policy. But I was reading what some other authors had to say on the subject, and some of them actually thought that it was not a bad idea, which surprised me. But their thinking was, hey, you know, if you're writing for a reputable website or you're someone that's known to give great blurbs and that's going to have an impact on how people view it, then I don't mind paying you to write it. So I'm just curious then, when it comes to the two of you, when it goes to Amazon, because Amazon is something, and I have to admit too that I don't record on Amazon as much as I should, and I do more, I think, on our websites than I do on Amazon because I just forget about it. But how important is it, and tell me now as a reader and tell our listeners as readers, how important is Amazon to your success as an author? Arisha, why don't you start off?
Right now, I really don't have that many Amazon reviews posted. It's very important. It's very important. Initially, I really didn't realize how many people really did rely on those reviews, but in the end, I see that a lot of people, they do. It's important.
Okay. All right. For you, Perron?
And I agree, that is important. I go to Amazon almost every day just to see if I have a new review or, you know, what the sales ranking is and whatnot. But it's very important because people actually shop on Amazon like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important.
Now, school us a little bit because I've heard the system explained to me, and I, you know, when you get into numbers sometimes I do get a bit confused. But from what I'm understanding, when it comes to ranking on Amazon, you want as low a score as possible. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, you want it as low as possible.
Okay. And the score, that number, what does that mean? Does that mean the amount of sales what does that number represent?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say I never understood that part exactly what that number represents there.
Okay, from the way it was explained to me, that number represents your sales for like that day.
Okay.
Of all the books sold across Amazon during a day's period. It can change at the click of one button of one person buying a book. It can drop from like 900,000 in the ranking all the way down to like 100,000 in the ranking off of one sale. So to see that drop and go up and drop and go up and drop is kind of exciting sometimes. But it's the lower you get is your sales ranking across all books that are sold off of Amazon, from my understanding.
Okay. All right. Authors, stand by. We do have a caller. I'm being told. Hello, caller. You're on the line.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Okay. I just logged in, and I was trying to see if you had any books on how to get maybe financial aid for college or if you knew any of books that I can read on how to get into, you know, Ivy League colleges. I'm a black, you know, young lady, so I was looking to see how I can get money in for college or any books that I can get.
You know what? The authors that we have online now, we have Arisha P.A. and also we have Perron Long. They both write fiction. They don't actually write any books along that line, but authors, I'll let you answer. Do you know anywhere that she could go to be able to find information about financing for college?
Unfortunately, I don't.
And I don't either write off.
Okay, I don't either. Call you.
I haven't had to do that in like 15 years.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I'm not sure either. I think she had actually just joined the conversation, and yet she may have saw the heading, the business of books, and didn't realize that we were actually talking about fiction authors. But so Perron, then as far as the Amazon scoring, then if you were talking to me as a reader, after we read your book, would you say then, no matter how we felt about the book, you want us to go on Amazon and post something?
Yeah, post something.
Okay.
Because
and
you
that
know, people
will...
go there and they look at that, yeah. And then you even see like a little thing that says, was this review helpful for you?
Mm.
And like I'll have one that says 12 out of 12 people found the review helpful. So that helps out a lot too.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. We're going to take another quick break. Again, if you're just joining us, if you're listening to Conversations Live, this is our monthly segment, The Business of Books. I want to also say thank you to iBeam. iBeam just came into the chat room. iBeam is actually one of our supporters for the Hip Hop and Books Coalition. In fact, as we're going into this next break, I'm actually going to play the commercial that iBeam did for the Coalition. After we play this this commercial, we're going to be listening to Andre Nicole and Trio with their song Like What You See. You're listening to Conversations Live. We'll be right back after this break.
Yes, sir. It's your boy, Ben. You already know, man. We back at it, Focus Radio. I got to take 1 second, you know what I'm saying? Just one quick second, just to let y'all know something, man. The boy C.A. Webb hollered at me right quick, you know what I'm saying? He started a little hip-hop and books movement, you dig? I shouldn't even say little. It's real big. You got C. Murda, Babs from Making the Band. A lot of different artists, man. And they taking their time to try to make sure that the youth and our people in general don't forget to pick up a book. You know what I'm saying? So do as I do, man. When you got a little downtime, you know what I mean? Or even in your uptime, man, pick up a book. You know what I'm saying? Expand your vocabulary. Expand your mind. Believe that. You heard it here. Your boy Bean, Focus Radio. Just focus! Yeah. HipHopAndBooks.com.
Tell me if you like, just like what you see. Do you wanna roll?
I want. Hey, what's good, everybody? This is John Boy, a.k.a. Mr. Virginia, and I want to invite all of our music lovers to join my addiction and get hooked on books. Please visit www.hiphopandbooks.com and see how we can work together to get others to fall in love with reading again. To find out more about me, visit www.myspace.com/JohnBoyCEO.
Thank you for that, John Boy. John Boy is from VH1, The White Rapper Show. Before that, you heard Andre Nicole featuring Trill with Like What You See. You're listening to Conversations Live, where we connect you live with the artists and authors you love who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. Right now, we're doing our monthly discussion called The Business of Books, where we're talking to our panel of authors to tell us a little bit about themselves, about their career, and also how they're able to stay competitive in the industry that they're in today. We're joined right now with best-selling authors Risha P.A. and also Perron Long. We were supposed to have also with us Valerie Wilson-Wesley and also Thomas Green Jr., but they weren't able to be with us. We'll definitely look forward to having them with us in the future. Now, to our two authors that we do have, we want to take just a quick minute to tell people a little bit about the Hip Hop and Books Coalition that we have in place. The project was actually formed by another recording artist, who is C. Murder and myself, to encourage music lovers to don't forget the importance of reading and staying in school. Basically, what we do is we've gotten together a coalition of recording artists from all over the country, whether they're regional artists or national artists like C. Murder and John Boy. They basically go around the country putting on free concerts. We've gotten free books donated, and everyone is encouraged to take home a book and to read it. Now, if you'd like to join the coalition or like to find out more about those that are a part of the coalition, you can find out by going to the website, which is www.hiphopandbooks.com. That's www.hiphopandbooks.com. Or you can go to the Conversations Book Club website, which is www.thebestbookclub.info. Look under the What's New tab, and there you'll see a link to the Hip Hop and Books. Also, while you're there at the Best Book Club website, you might also want to check out our Top 20 Summer Reads for 2008. One of the authors that made that list is actually on the phone with us right now, and that's Perron Long. So, Perron, you actually were chosen as one of our Top 20 Summer Reads of 2008 with your book, Pulpit Confessions. I want to ask you a little bit about the book and something you said earlier, because you talked about it has that Christian theme to it, but it does have that erotica as well. With Carl Weber, he and Mark Anthony have been, I would have to say, trendsetters, in a sense, of having, Christian fiction with a punch.
Yeah.
With books like Holy Hustler, you have Drama in the Church. The list goes on with them. Do you think that this is a new wave of Christian fiction that's coming through for people who are looking for something more that they can relate to? Or what do you think about the classification that's coming out of, industries such as Urban Books or Kibera Books with the books that are considered Christian fiction?
Well, the way I look at it, I go from the standpoint of the church itself. You know, we're in a new age right now where the traditional teachings and the traditional ways of the church are kind of almost minute now. A lot of times, from the traditional standpoint, people are like pretty much beating up the sinner and not actually dealing with the sin. So, in a sense, what I was attempting to do with Pulpit is not so much as beat up the sinner, but it helped everyone to understand that we all have sin and we all have things that we're dealing with. And correlate that in with the Christian fiction genre. You know, for me, when I read some Christian fiction, to me, you know, because of my own journey, it was like, this is not real. It may be real for someone, but it's not real for me. It's, you know, it's something totally different for me. So I think that the ways of the world are kind of changing to a point to where something a little risque may actually reach the people in a different way. I hope that made sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. You're exactly right. I mean, everyone's journey is different.
Yeah.
And you can't talk to everyone the same way. And I think, if you look at how the church has evolved in a sense, when I was growing up, I wouldn't think about wearing jeans to church. And that's something that's not looked down on like it was. It's not looked down as much now for women to wear pants at church. So, I mean, for certain people. And so there are churches for that person, you know, who has a certain belief system. And I think, you know, I believe that that's what you're saying, is that so there's Christian fiction then for all. Now, for you, Risha, you are now in your third release with Urban Soul, and the new book's called Illusion of Love. Since that's the one of your books that I have not read, go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about what they'll find in this third installment from you.
Illusion of Love is basically what it says. My main character, Tatiana, she met whom she thought to be the ideal, the perfect man. And she was taken by this man, won over by this man. And when she was into the relationship, it was all an illusion. It was not what it was originally. The main character, Courtney Wilkes, he was a man with a motive. He was a man on a mission. and it just, the point that I wanted to get through to my readers was that everything that glitters isn't gold. If it's too good to be true, it really is.
Okay. All right. And your upcoming release, Perron, do you want to talk a little bit about what we can expect from you?
Yeah, Living Ain't Easy is actually more of I guess you could call it more of a romance story. Now, there is a character that appears in the book that was also in Pulpit. And actually, Living Ain't Easy was actually written before Pulpit. So it's kind of like, it's not a prequel, but just that one, you know, returning character that's coming out. You're going to learn more about that character in the first book outside of, with the exception of It Came First. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. But Living Ain't Easy is basically a love story. It entails my main character, Devlin Carter, and he is a former school teacher who devised a program to help students learn, and in that he became a millionaire. And now he's dealing with a former lover who actually left him because he was just a mere school teacher. And now that he's rich, she's trying to enter back into his life. And then the female main character, Simone, is a talk show host who's actually living a lifestyle of a lesbian. And she's not happy. She's always had that dream of having a man. So they meet, and then the drama actually comes from their two exes. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how people are going to accept that.
Okay. All right. Okay, so what we're going to do for the two of you, stay with us. We're going to take one quick break. When we come back from this break, we're going to now turn the spotlight a little bit more on you. I know you probably feel like it's been on you for the past hour. But we're going to turn a little bit more on you and find out from you what you want readers to know about you as an author and also a person, and why they should pick up your next books. Taking us into this break, we're just going to have another one of our commercials from our hip-hop and book sponsors. This is going to be from one of my good friends, Tim Steele, who's actually from Mississippi. After this commercial, you're going to hear another friend of mine that's from Mississippi. His name is Kay Lipsy. He now lives and works for a record company out of California. You're going to hear his song, Mississippi Po'Boy. So we'll be right back after this break. Again, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're discussing the business of books. We'll be right back with Risha P.A. and also Perron Long.
It's your boy Tim Steele, COD All-Star, and I want all my music lovers to join my addiction and get hooked on books. For more information, log on to www.hiphopandbooks.com. And for more information on your boy Steele, hit me up at myspace.com/TimSteeleCOD. Get your read on.
Young boy in a house up on the hill, can't Canton, Mississippi. That's where we live. Mama did it all by herself, even working two jobs. And in between that lesson she dealt, and they still linger on. I'm from Mississippi, I'm a mama raised son, and I'm sticking to my pippin from which he brought me from. There were others who helped along the way, helped me right my wrong, and I'm sticking to my pippin. I'm sticking to my pippin. I was a young man, I took a stab at the game, and that's when this one man pulled me aside and said, baby boy, don't do what I do, 'cause this ain't your thing. You need to find a new route to choose for your fortune and fame. I'm from Mississippi, I'm a mama raised son, and I'm sticking to my pippin from which he brought me from. There were others who helped along the way, helped me right my wrongs. I'm sticking to my pippin. I'm sticking to my pippin. With Uncle Sam, and then I was gone all around the world, but never forgot about home. My imperfections make me who I am, so I hold on to what is true. Don't forget about the simple things, and they won't forget about you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a mama raised son, and I'm sticking to my pimpin from which he brought me from. There were others who helped along the way, helped me right my wrongs. I'm sticking to my pimpin. I'm sticking to my pimpin. I'm from Mississippi, I'm a mama raised son, and I'm sticking to my pippin from which he brought me from. Oh, there were others who helped along the way, helped me right my wrong. I'm sticking to my pippin. I'm sticking to my pippin. I'm from Mississippi, I'm a mama raised son, I'm sticking to my pimpin. Oh, I'm a mama raised son, and I'm sticking to my pimpin. I'm sticking to my pimpin. I'm from Mississippi.
And there you have Kay Lipsey, living in California by way of Mississippi, with the song Mississippi Po' Boy. Leading us into that song, we have Tim Steele, another supporter of the Hip Hop and Books Coalition. Both of them you'll find on our Hip Hop and Books compilation CD that's now available. To get your copy, you can simply go to the website, hiphopandbooks.com, and order it at the H&B compilation link. Again, you're listening to Conversations Live. We've been joined now for the last hour here, talking about the business of books with best-selling author Risha P.A. and also Peyron Long. For the two of you, we want to say, first of all, thank you for being guests with us today. And I want to, in this final segment, this is something I think that is real important, because we know, as in any industry, in any business, rumors are something that's always easy to start, to be involved in. People are always going to have different perceptions of you, especially when you get into the public eye. they're going to try to attach things to you that aren't necessarily you. Starting with Risha, what I want you to do is to tell our readers a little bit about who you want them to take away from this interview as who Risha PA is, and also why they should give your books a chance today.
From this interview, Cyrus, first of all, I would like to take this opportunity to thank you for having me as a guest on your show. I realize within the past 3 years that you have done dynamic things in terms of approaching readers and developing a readership and making reading fun and something that we as the African-American community should embrace. From this interview, I would like for people to see Risha or to feel Risha as a very approachable person. I'm very approachable. I'm real. I mean, simply because I work a day job just like anybody else. I grocery shop. I don't have a butler. I don't have a maid. I'm very real. I'm very approachable. And like I said, Risha PA will not be Risha PA without the support of the public. So that's one thing that I would like for people to know, that I always keep in mind that I'm only as successful as the people that go out to the store and purchase my books. I'm only as successful as the people that go to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Target.com, UrbanBooks.com, and purchase my books. So I would like for them to know that wherever they see me, that I'm approachable, I'm available, I'm real. You know, I'm a real person that has been blessed and fortunate in that I've been able to develop, and I'm still cultivating a God-given gift that, you know, all of us have talent, and that's what I tell the readers. You know, people, they need to know that there's room out there for all of us. Everyone has a story, and that's what I tell people. Everyone has a story within them. The first thing that they should do, put it down on paper and be, you know, be prayerful, be persistent, and be patient, and that they too, you know, they can achieve the same goals. I dare them to dream, because dreams are, they do come true.
Well, thank you for your compliment. I appreciate that, Risha. And also I want to say, you know, ladies and gentlemen, she does have 3 books, but she's not going to break you, because all of her books are in mass market, and they're less than $8 a piece, so you can get all 3 for about $20. And that's Mystery of a Woman. Mystery of a Woman, Illusion of Love, and also her second book there was Intimate Betrayal. So you can get 3 for $20, right? That's a great deal. And it'll be a little bit cheaper at Walmart. So we want you to get all 3. The same question goes for you, Peyron. What do you want from, based on this interview today, the things that you've shared with our listeners, what do you hope they take away as the real Peyron Long?
Well, I want people to know me as a writer who possessed the passion of the craft. You know, I also want to be known as one who, when I write a book or when I release a book, I want it to be a book that's going to educate as well as entertain. I want people to know me more as a writer than anything else. And like Risha, I'm real also. I speak my mind. I speak truth. And I just want to be able to be someone who anyone can always go to and talk to. I want people to be comfortable around me. I want to be able to be someone who, you know, anyone can talk to without worrying about this or worrying about that. And like Risha, I want to say thank you also for allowing me to be on this show, even though, you know, I know we've been playing phone tag for the last couple of weeks.
Exactly.
But I do thank you for that. But, yeah, that's basically, I just want to be known as someone with a passion for what they do.
Okay. Well, we know there will be tons of listeners that will want to find out more information about you, Peyron. Go ahead now and give them how they can contact you online to find out more about you, and also how they can purchase your books online as well.
Okay, you can go to my website, www.peyronflong.com. That's PeyronFlong.com. You can also reach me on MySpace, www.myspace.com/LilSouthernBoy36. My book can be purchased on my website as well as the website of XYP, which is www.expressyourselfpublishing.org. You can also go to Amazon.com, and anywhere books are sold, you can purchase my book there, Pulpit Confessions.
Okay. Okay, but your main site is PeyronFLong.com, and that's where they can get it through there as well. Okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, Risha, if our listeners want to find out more about you, want to go ahead and purchase your books online or find out more about you, what's the website and the information you would give them?
They can go to my website, www.rishagpea.com, which is R-E-C-H-A-G-P-E-A-Y.com. My books can be purchased directly from my website, or they can go to www.urbanbooks.net and click on the Urban Soul link. They can purchase books from there also. Definitely Amazon.com. They can be purchased from there also, or they can go to any major bookstore and purchase a copy.
Risha, I know with you having the new book coming out, I know that you'll be touring quite a bit as well. I know you'll be with Conversations Book Club for the very first time. I'm excited about that. You'll
yes,
be with us
definitely.
September 19th and 20th, that Friday and Saturday, which there'll be more information made available about that on our website next week. Is your touring schedule, will they find that on your website as well?
Yes, we try to keep my website updated with my touring schedule right now. Like I said, I live outside of Memphis, and every weekend from now until I will hopefully be somewhere. This coming up weekend, August the 30th, I will be signing books at a local mall in Memphis, Walden Books, in the Wolf Chase Galleria Mall, which is located in Memphis. So, yes, they will be able to go to my website and see my schedule.
Awesome. Okay, so this Saturday you'll be at Wolf Chase, at the Walden Books of Wolf Chase.
Yes, Walden Books in the Wolf Chase Mall. I will be there from 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock.
Okay, all right. And for you too, Peyron, your touring schedule is also available through your website, or they can contact you for information about where you'll be?
Yeah, it's on my website. I do have a link on there. I don't have any more dates posted, but I will have some starting in October.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And also, if book clubs, because I'm sure just like Conversations chose Pulpit Confessions as one of its top 20 summer reads for this year, I'm sure book clubs will be contacting you about how they can have you maybe available for a conference call if your book is the book of the month. Is there information on there as well for book clubs to contact you through email?
Actually, yes, it is. I'm on that link that I have on my website where I have tour dates. You can actually send me an email, and I can make arrangements for you to come or talk to you on a conference call.
Okay,
so
and Richard.
Yeah.
Okay, and Risha, you have the same thing available, I think.
Yes,
if
they go to my website, like I said, www.rishagpa.com, there is a contact page, and there's a link on that page where they can email me directly. I'm very open and available for any, whether it be them wanting me to come, if they're within driving distance, or we can available for conference calls as well.
Okay. All right. Again, our guests for this 90-minute discussion of the business of books have been best-selling authors Risha P.A. and Peyron Long. Thank you again to the two of you for giving up your time today. We really did appreciate it.
Thank you,
Cyrus. It's been a pleasure.
Really appreciate it. Yeah.
We'll definitely have to do this again soon, and we won't wait around as long next time. So, again, like I said, this is the first time for the two of you. It definitely won't be the last, and we look forward to working with you all before the year's out.
Yes, definitely.
All right. And to all of our listeners, thank you for listening to another edition of Conversations Live. Don't forget that this interview, as well as all of our other interviews, will be available for a podcast immediately after the show. So if you did miss any of it, you'll be able to go to www.thebestbookclub.info. And as soon as you go to the website, you'll be able to hear the show in its entirety. Also, a feature that we have, thanks to Blog Talk Radio, is that you can actually download the interview to a CD or to your computer. We actually have some of our listeners that have emailed us and told us they've been putting the interviews on CDs. We appreciate that. So that shows you're a bigger book nerd than I am. You actually ride around listening to the interviews in your car. So we do thank you all for the support. And again, Conversations will be nothing without any of your support. and we appreciate all of you. As always, if you're looking for updates on what Conversations is reading, don't forget we have 10 chapters total, 7 in Mississippi, 1 in Tennessee, 1 in Alabama, and also 1 in Louisiana. If you're curious as to what any of them are reading, all you have to do is go to www.thebestbookclub.info and look at the websites that are on the right-hand side. That'll take you to the website for each particular book club, and you can tell what each one of the chapters is reading, and you can see if your book has made one of their lists. As always, we want to thank our musical guests for their help. If you've enjoyed the music that you've heard today, don't forget that you can find it all available on one CD. That's the Hip Hop and Books Compilation Project. You can get it by going to the Hip Hop and Books website. That website, again, is www.hiphopandbooks.com. Again, that's www.hiphopandbooks.com. And there you'll be able to purchase the Hip Hop and Books Compilation CD. I believe it's $12.50, and that does include taxes. Again, all of the proceeds from the compilation project do go to continue to fund the work that we do with the Hip Hop and Books compilation, as well as with the tour, remembering that all of our tour dates are free, all of our concerts are free, the artists do it totally out of the goodness of their heart. The only thing the money goes to cover is their hotel and also their transportation. So make sure you show your support. Go to the website, purchase the CD. You'll enjoy it. 16 tracks. Featuring 15 different artists. It's a great project. History definitely in the making, and you can have your own piece no matter where you live in the country. As always, we want to say thank you to all of our listeners in all the different states that email us. Also, to all of you who are listening online, we thank you again. Make sure you continue to spread the word. We have some great interviews that are coming up for you in the upcoming weeks. We have another exclusive interview with Andrew Niderman coming up in a few weeks. You might not recognize the name, but you will recognize the book that he's known for. The book is The Devil's Advocate, and that is the book that featured, that was actually made into a movie that featured Keanu Reeves. So make sure you look at our website to find out when we'll be speaking exclusively to him. We were actually the first book club that he spoke with back in 2006, and now every year he's come on the show to talk about his new projects. In fact, the day that his new book comes out, he'll be right here on Conversations Live to talk about it. So you definitely want to make sure, again, you visit the website to find out who's coming up next. As always, we hope you all have a great evening. Enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world, and make sure you take out time to enjoy a good book. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying until next time, thank you for listening to Conversations Live. You all have a great evening.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.